Did you bring your perceiver and your server listing back with you tonight? Good. I knew you would. Now, those that were not here last week, we're going to pass out. No, not pass out. We're going to distribute those things. And I don't know, guys, I'm going to be right here. If this is going to be a problem, you might want to move over because I'm going to teach off the screen. And we've got these fancy chairs here. Some of you guys like to sit up here. Huh? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But you couldn't see in the back of your head. But Charlotte was a teacher, and she told the students she had eyes in the back of her head, and they believed her. Yeah. Right. Okay, if you weren't here last Sunday, we want to make sure you get one of these charts so you can fill it out. So raise your hand, and mi novia Carlota va a pasarlos, distribuirlos. Okay. How's that? Last week's, yeah. And we got new ones for tonight then. But lest you wonder if I'm teaching some kind of heresy, this is the booklet that I'm using. It's resource. It's forwarded by Rita Bennett, and it's Don and Katie Fortune or Fortune, depends on how they pronounce it. I don't know. But I was just looking here, and there was a noted clinical psychologist, Edward Carr, that went through one of these, and he has said that there was in the psychological field that they say there are 9 different individual personalities, and they discovered that if you take 2 of those that are closely related and put them together, it will be 7, and that's exactly what the biblical formula for this is. And so we're actually looking at this as a biblical formula that is present in the motivational giftings. So I'm going to be kind of like this and like this. So can y'all see? Can you see the screen okay? Because I'm probably hitting me with that anyway. But wherever you want to sit, that's fine. If you want to sit in these chairs up here, that'd be fine too. So if you weren't here, Charlotte's passing those out. And then tonight we're going to start with the biblical perceivers: John the Baptist, Anna, Ananias, Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Jonah. Now, the word perceiving here, perception, in some of the versions call it prophecy, like a New Testament prophet. But this perception is someone that understands that we went through all of these things, and those things you're passing out there, you can see what some of the characteristics are of a person that is highly gifted in as a perceiver. And these are the people in the Bible that are there. Now, what we want to start with tonight is the problems that can exist. Now, last week we talked about 20 things that the perceiver has. These are basically positive things. But the problems of the perceiver, and Charlotte's going to go through the problems. Charlotte, do you have a problem? Okay. You've got holes in there so that you can put them in a notebook, but we don't furnish notebooks or pens. That's your problem. Okay. That's right. I know. I'm a perceiver. Okay. 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 All right. We went and printed a whole bunch of these extra because we knew people would be coming that weren't here last week. All right. And so you can go through those as you want to before by the end you will have a score that you can see who you really are. Okay. Who are you anyway? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay, babe.
We'll get yours tonight a little bit later after he teaches. That's from last week. Thank you. Okay, the problems of the perceiver.
There's only 5, not 20.
Tends to be judgmental and blunt. Is that us? Is that you? That's me? Number 2.
Okay.
Okay, number two is pushing, trying to get others and groups to mature spiritually. That's a problem. Number two, number three, four, is intolerant of opinions and views that differ from his own. His or her own. Five, struggles with self-image problems. Four, one. Okay, everybody ready?
Two, forgets to praise partial progress due to goal unconsciousness.
Forgets to praise partial progress due to goal consciousness. Probably when I got to that one, the telephone rang or something. I don't know.
Okay, that's number two. Okay, number three is perceiver is pushy and trying to get others and groups to mature spiritually. Four is intolerant of opinions and views that differ from his or her own. Five is struggles with self-image problems.
So you can see that as the assets that these things have, the problems are there too. Husbands and wives are talking with each other right now and laughing and pointing and so on. But anyway, so here's what we've been talking about. Those that weren't here last week, there are seven characteristics: the teacher, the perceiver, the exhorter, the administrator, the compassionate person, the giver, and the server. And so we had gone through the perceiver and had gone through the server last week. And we're going to go through these, just keep going, because we need to get down to the end of this. And we pass these out so that you can do your chart. And so I'm not expecting you to read this, but David is helping us here very rapidly. And we're going to look at biblical servers in the scriptures. You probably know those already. We will tell you, those new ones that are here, that Jesus makes 100 on all of these. He's got every one of these characteristics, and we're to be like him. And so if you feel that you are emphasizing in one area, that's your personality, that's something God has given, he's planted within you, just realizing that we all need to strive for every one of these. Okay, biblical servers.
Martha. Martha, Martha. John 11, 1 through 40. Tell you about her servanthood. Phoebe, Romans 16, 1 through 2. Stephen, Acts 6, 1 through 15. And chapter 7, 1 through 60. Philip, the deacon. John, 1 John. No, John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 45. And chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Onesimus, Philemon, Colossians 4. Oh, these are two different people. It's not the book. Okay. And Colossians also. So the whole book of Philemon, and then Colossians is the other book, chapter 4, verse 9. And Peter's mother-in-law, and she had no name, was, I hate the slam of a mother-in-law, because all mother-in-laws don't fall in the same category.
That's right.
And so you can, yeah. But Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. And then Jacob was Genesis 25 through 30. Okay. Oh, biblical problems. Problems of the servers. Server. Now, this is going to hit a lot of us, because I know I'm a server. I mean, I've already said, well, I know what I am, but I'm going to recognize some things in me that probably will make me stop and think and want to do some changing. It's critical of others who do not help out with obvious needs. And after we eat, after we get through tonight. And number two, may neglect own family's needs by being too busy helping others. Three, may become pushy or interfering in eagerness to help. Four, is finds it hard to accept being served by others. Number five, is easily hurt when unappreciated. Okay, Joe. Did you find yourself in any of these? Yeah.
Okay, so this is the giftings that we're talking about. Next one is the teacher. Characteristics of the teacher. Number one, he presents truth in a logical, systematic way. The lectures will be in an outline form. It will be rich in facts, scriptures, and conclusions. However, an exhorter will be more popular teacher, but the listener will hardly have any notes. And so we see a little difference here in what we're going to go to in the exhorter. Number two, he validates truth by checking out the facts. He wants to be sure what they believe and accept is based on fact. Thomas, a teacher, did not want to trust what he heard about the resurrection. Did you hear anything about that this morning, Tina? Teachers count it an honor to be called a doubting Thomas. They're not going to just accept it. They're going to go research it. They're going to check it out. They love to study and do research. The research must be complete. They love books and will have a large personal library. I heard one time that these moving companies charge extra for a preacher because they know how many books that they're going to have to carry out. They search all of the Bible translations. They say, surely I'll find one that says what I want it to say. No. Number four, they enjoy word studies. They will investigate root meanings, Greek and Hebrew counterparts. Sometimes the study of one word leads a teacher into hours of insight, since one insight leads to another. Joy, do you recognize that? Somebody she lives with. Number five, they prefer to use biblical illustrations rather than life illustrations. The Bible is the ultimate authority. They may use a personal illustration but to enhance a point, but only after the point is well illustrated by Scripture. A teacher has got to see it in the Word. They've got to see it. Number six, they get upset when Scripture is used out of context. To him, it's like fingernails across a blackboard or scraping a fork with your teeth. That's not from the book. That's from Joe Foss. Okay. They get upset if Scripture is used out of context. They view misuse as abuse because they're a gifted teacher. They feel concerned that truth must be established in every situation. They see that it's the foundation, the anchor, the framework within which they can securely work. In all areas of life, they want truth to prevail. Now, you can't disagree with any of these, really. Number eight, they're more objective than subjective. It's from the mind and what they see and not just what they feel. It's what they think. It's what they find out. Usually the men that have this gift will be research scientists, business analysts, or judges. Women in similar fields, they participate in life without their emotions getting in the way. They know where they're headed. Number nine, they easily develop and use a large vocabulary. They use words well and are fond of learning new ones. They even enjoy Scrabble and crosswords. Must not be a teacher. They are good communicators and commanding in their speech and eloquence. Number 10, we're halfway through with this one, so get ready. You're going to have to fill out your chart, just 10 more. They emphasize facts and the accuracy of words. They're not so interested in someone's opinion. They're good proofreaders, finding misspelled words. Did I misspell that one? I hope not. Misspelled words, improper grammar, or inadequate vocabulary. Number 10. Number 11, they check out the source of knowledge of others who teach. They certainly want to see the footnotes. Are most apt to ask who, what, where, when, or how come. But this giftedness needs to be properly channeled. They prefer teaching believers to engaging in evangelism. Where's Jason? Okay. All right. aggressive types of evangelism are not appealing to the teacher. But once new people are won to the Lord, he'll spend hours teaching the new converts. Number 13, they feel that Bible study is foundational to the operation of all the gifts. They cannot imagine anything more important than studying the Bible. Their view is, how can the perceiver perceive without it? The exhorter must have biblical basis. The giver must have guidelines. The administrator, how can they lead without it? The compassionate person, how can they love without God's revealed love? And so they see everything in a different light. Number 14, they solve problems by starting with scriptural principles. And you probably have heard me say that all the problems of our world are a violation of the principles laid out in the scriptures. They believe the answer to every problem is in God's word. They will use biblical principles to make every decision. Number 15, they're intellectually sharp. Oh, they are the mind of the body of Christ. They're good students in school. They were the ones that loved to study. They were self-motivated. They often came home with straight A's. They have a good memory of dates and history. Number 16, they're self-disciplined. They mix a good dose of seriousness with a lot of objectivity. They add a love for truth and a keen mind, and that equals the ingredients of self-discipline. They're very punctual. They want it to start on time. They're emotionally self-controlled. They have a great emotional equilibrium. They're highly analytical. A teacher's graph of mood swings will look like a horizontal line. They're not up and down. Uh-oh. They have only a select circle of friends. Their common interests will be a requisite for the development of close relationships. They hate meaningless chit-chat. Sometimes they're loners. Books are often their very best friend. Number 19, two more to go. They have strong convictions and opinions based on investigation of facts. A casual conversation can trigger an immediate need for research. They will say, I read something about that the other day. They probably invented Google. Oh, let me check that out. This book was written before Google, I'm sure. So that was my addition. Number 20, believes that truth has the intrinsic power to produce change. They will present truth without having to explain how to apply it. They feel that it is the job of the Holy Spirit. Has confidence that whatever is truth will be effective. So that's our 20 characteristics of the teacher. Now, Charlotte's going to pass out these to everyone. If she probably needs some help. No, teacher. And you're to fill those out. We need some help, yeah. So what you will be asked here. It's got to say teacher. There's 100 of each. You'll be asked these questions beside what I've just shared, these 20 characteristics. And number one, there's zero. If you put a zero, it means never. I've never done this. The next one is seldom. The next one is sometimes. The next one is usually. The next one is mostly. And the last one is always. If on every one of these you put always, then you would be like Jesus, making 100. So then givers, the other one will be next. So let me see what that's going to be. So we're going to take about 10 minutes and let you test yourself. Then we're going to talk about the exhorter.